And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in the beautiful Gitche Gumee. I can't say that enough. It's on Lake Superior in the northern part of the north part of the north of Michigan, you know, across the bridge. I got it. It's, upper Michigan, so they call them Yukers. You know, I was saying it, Yokers. Well, I didn't know. I got a bunch of emails. I'm sorry.
Youpers.
Thank you. Because it's youpers. Like you're up, I guess. And then below the bridge in Michigan, they call them. What's below the bridge? Trolls.
Yeah, trolls.
So apparently we're trolls.
Yeah, trolls. They go, yeah, you're below the bridge. You're a troll. So youpers. Okay, I got it. So the we're up at the Gitche Gumee RV campground here right on the lake, which is like, you know, freshwater ocean, which is kind of interesting. That's the first time I've ever been to one of the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. You know, you go up on the beach there, it's like a beach, and it's fresh water.
Yeah,
I'm hip to that, you know. And you guys were saying, oh, it's cold, man, that water's cold. And Donna and I, you know, went and felt it, and I'm going, hell, our grandkids be swimming in this already, you know. But so it's in the 70s. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, 55 or 60 something. It will be, though, I'm sure. You know, they go out and remember as a kid seeing pictures of them going out on the ice and cutting big blocks of ice to take in the whatever they do with it. The song Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, you know, if you read the lyrics, Donna, put those lyrics in the first hour, will you please? You know, and the video, the music video. And so this is one of the, we're going to take the time, and man, I get freaking time. I got a nice Mavic Air 2 drone sitting there in boxes. I didn't even have time to even pull it out, you know, to learn. So I'll get to that today, and we'll take it out, do some video, and we'll, you know, do kind of the thing I promised for my grandkids is where we stop. We'll do a little, you know, history on it and so on. And a lot of it was iron ore mining here. That's what the Edmund Fitzgerald was hauling when it broke up, because in the winds of November, you get 35-foot waves, and it was the largest ship on the Great Lakes. It was, 600-something feet long or something. It was a big ship. And it broke up, and they finally found it in the bottom of the lake there, about 550 feet of water. And it, you know, you can get some storms here. So you can see on the beach, it's got some erosion, but you know the waves would be a hitting. So it's an interesting place up here. And what's the name of this town?
Marquette.
Marquette. It's a lot bigger town than I thought. They even got a. They got. It's not quite open yet, but they got a Harbor Freight. That's good. Yeah. You know, and then you got Lowe's. You know, damn Chinese. But anyway, they got a Lowe's. They don't have a Home Depot competing yet, you know, but they've got competing lumber yards and such. But, you know, it's a low. You got all the name brand of the chain stores of whatever. But that's not what's interesting to me. It is all the ma-and-pa places. You know, of course, they come in and take them over, you know, but that's what they're trying to put out of business, is all of these ma-and-pa. And if you don't comply, you got to comply. You got to have your signs up and everything. But Josh and Rick and I went to the Home Improvement Center to get some supplies and so on from some sign maker. We'll talk about that, what we're going to be doing this weekend. And we go in, and, you know, everybody else wearing masks, right? Yeah, we don't. You know, it's just because we don't. And you go up, you talk to the employees, hey, I need to sign. You stare them right in the face, kind of, you smile. Let me see your smile. You know, it's kind of, you know, and I'm the impression that I'm getting is, one, they don't care. You know, they just do whatever they got to do to stay in business because of the man. But I think they're appreciative. You know, they're just like, you know, happy somebody's just not afraid. You got to, you know, no fear. Quit being afraid. It's you know, so what we're going to do today, we got, I showed Josh and Rick what we brought for them and what we're going to be doing. What we're going to talk about today is why. Why are they involved? Why are they motivated? Why, you know, what is it that you have families around this country that we're searching for? And they're going to be an inspiration for a lot of other families around the country that we're there. They just need a little, just a little love. Little love. We're going to bring love us. And, you know, have some fun and have some impact. And, you know, it's just people are waiting for someone just to show them the way because it's been beaten out of them. They don't know. They think, well, I know what I'll do. I'll open a Facebook page. Yeah. You know, and you're on the grid. You're in the echo chamber. They, you know, you can't get, you got to go where the people are. Go, man, what people? You know, they determine what people. See, you can't break out signs. On the street, I've been doing this 30 years, and I'm telling you, you put a sign on the corner with a web page and the kind of, you know, and they be a going. Yeah, what they said. About damn time. You watch. You know, everybody's going, how'd you know, Ernie? How'd you not know? I'm going, did, all right, you know, just, you know, sit back, enjoy the show. Or you can freaking help, you know, or you can, you know, a lot of times they, oh, send me the stuff. I want, yeah, $80 and I'll send you one stent and maybe you'll use, no. No, you know, we'll come, you just give us a place to go. You guys are willing to do something. We'll come and help. Or what we're going to be doing this weekend is videotaping. Well, we've done this before. We're going to be videotaping and giving instructional videos and exactly where to source the material, what to do, how to do it. And you start, you know, how do you think the revolution started? When we did the Ron Paul revolution, it was only how to make signs. There was not one little piece of philosophy or issues or not. You want to do that? Talk to Dr. Paul. But we were there to make sure that you had the ability to express yourself. And it was interesting, you know, some people, and it was usually, what was he going to say, or do you, I get a permission slip, or what? It was the youth. I don't need a permit from the man to give a finger to the man. There's a permit for giving the finger? Where do I get that permit, you know? So this is what we're, it's so, it's encouraging to know what's coming and that we can demonstrate it. You know, movements are not made, they're supported. You know, they're it's already there. Oh, man, and it's already there. Last night I watched some of the RNC kind of, you know, some of the speeches and whatever. Don and I go to bed, and I see, Ivanka's speaking. Okay, well, I'll see what the babe has to say. So you go up there, and she's up there being pretty and doing blah, 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 blah. And then Donald Trump gets up for over an hour and did his thing. Yeah, he did well for whatever they're doing. But outside the White, because this is on the White House lawn. Okay, you guys want to play this game? You want to go protest? All right, fine, we'll do it at the White House. Ha, 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 ha. Well, of course, they didn't like that. So he does the acceptance speech. He does his thing, and, yeah, he did a pretty good job, you know, if you're a Trump supporter. Outside were the protests. Now, everybody, you had hundreds of people that were there on the lawn. And, you know, a couple of guys had masks and so on. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, I don't care. But it doesn't look like they cared. They didn't. And when they're leaving, they're going to their hotel. Well, Rand Paul got caught up in the crowd, and he had D.C. police trying, you know, holding their bikes up, keeping the people away. They were assaulting them. I mean, they're pushing the cops and grabbing bikes and doing, and, you know, is he going to make it to the hotel? Is he going to make it? Did he make it? You know, so there was a lot of consternation going on. I'm wondering where this goes, what the left thinks that they're getting. And we'll be right back. We'll get to introduce you to Rick and Josh, a family that's going to do this weapon. We're going to help. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You don't need a sticking roads. All roads lead to, tyranny usually. That's what they all go to D.C. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and introduce you to Rick and Josh. I'm going to have them give whatever information that they want on their motivations and so on. And where I know them from is at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and Fork Fest. Rick was there with his family. He has, his youngest children are like adults. So it was interesting. And how I knew, because I wanted to go to Upper Michigan. You know, that was the one I go, there's never any love up there. And you want to go to these rural areas that are just, they're like a separate country, but they're abused as much as anybody else by, you know, Michigan's governor of thou shalt, I want to be president someday or something. I don't know what their motivation is for doing this draconian stuff. But to be able to have them represent themselves and separate from, and come to find out they were from Michigan. And we were playing poker, and some of your other sons or son-in-laws or son, were you playing poker, John?
I was in the poker tent. I wasn't playing, though.
Yeah, you know, so a lot of the guys are in there, and they go, yeah, we're from Michigan. Whoa, and we struck it up right away, and then I met their father, and they came by the love bus, and we started yakking. I said, I tell you what, man, and they seem motivated. I go, if you're motivated, we'll go to Upper Michigan. This was, God, almost 2 months ago, a month and a half ago or so. I said, you know, you do it. We'll make it happen. You know, pick a date. Well, Rick found a RV park up here that could – you know, accommodate what we wanted to do and in the area that we wanted, because this town here is Marquette. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
It's the largest one. It's bigger than I thought it'd be. You know, it is, I don't know what, 50, 60,000 people or something around this area or something.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. So I didn't even know. I expected it'd just be, you know, moose or something. but what happened is, this was a mining thing for iron ore. And when do you ever think of an iron ore mining place? I mean, I never even, you know, thought of where that just big open pits. But they used to go down in the shafts. Screw that, man. There better be some charming ore for me to go down, you know, for some iron. But the it has its own history, and we'll be going over that. But they were motivated, and I want to know why. I want to know what their story is and why they see this mandated vaccine kind of thing they want to play. So let's talk to Dad Rick. Rick, tell everybody everything, man.
Everything, yeah. All right. Well, first I'd like to really thank you for putting us on. I had no idea we were going to be on the radio. And I've been listening to you for a long time. And so I'm probably a little nervous. This is my first time on radio.
You sound so pretty.
I have listened to talk shows since the beginning of time. I started out with listening to Mark Scott back in the day. I don't know if you know, he was in New York, Detroit area. They went to New York, went back to Detroit. And this was when he went back to Detroit, this was when Rush Limbaugh just started up.
So it's like in the mid-90s or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I was really into that because I was an IT guy. I was on the road, you know, fixing people's computers and stuff and setting up networks and that. And I listened to these people on the road, and Mark Scott really got me on Ayn Rand. Yeah, so I think I read everything Ayn Rand wrote. And I really, you know, all this time I've been listening to talk shows, I've never called in. But, you know, I've thought about it, but I never did. And I thought about it, and, I get nervous like I am now. So,
you're doing
so,
fine.
Yeah.
Just talk, man. We're just hanging.
But it's great to be here. And, I've learned a lot over the years with people's ideas and ideas of freedom. And this is where it's at. And to cut to the chase, you know, with what's going on now, this COVID thing, you know, I seen it coming. My boss, I work for a law office, okay? And he wants to protect the business and liability and all this stuff. So
it's insurance, the man, kind of clipboards and shiny badges.
And we're an insurance defense company, insurance defense firm. So it's you know, it's all about insurance. So, so anyway, he's requiring this and that. I got to get everybody remoted, you know, working from home, which is no problem. I can't work from home myself. It's difficult, but so, you know, first I got to get tested. Then I got to wear a mask. And I see it. It's like, wait a second. Why? You know, I'm the only one in the office. You know, okay, so why should I? And I'm not wearing it at the desk, but I got to wear it in and out. It's like, so now I got myself a, I don't know if I got it with me. I got myself a Trump 2020 mask now.
So you walk around with that. Trump fan or just pissing them off?
I'm just pissing them off. I just, I'm so sick of it. And then I realized vaccines. You know, that's where it ends for me. You know, that's the line. And I started talking to my boss about it, and he has no clue about vaccines. He's like, well, kids have to have it to go to school and all that stuff. And I said, well, and I didn't get into it yet with him because that's going to cost me my job if he's saying, you know, you got to have it because I'm not going to have it. So anyway, that, you know, that's where it ends, starts and ends with me, is the mandated vaccines. Because I have injured my son here, Josh, he's injured. He was injured. I watched him in the hospital when he was a little baby. Couldn't breathe. And that is the worst feeling in the world when you can't help your kid. And this is after he had a line of vaccines, and it just, it's devastating. And I knew it. That's when I woke up, you know. He couldn't breathe. It's like, nah, this is not going to happen to him again. And I took him to a doctor who was going to check him out and see, oh, can he have the next round of vaccines? And because I didn't know better at that time. And the doctor did his little test, hit him on the knee with the little hammer, or maybe checked his heart, whatever, and said, oh, he's fine. And I said, what? Are you kidding me? You blood test, maybe DNA test, something. Well, back then I don't think DNA test was a thing, but oh my God. He did nothing, and he says, well, he's fine.
I got I got a white lab coat, man.
Yeah, I got a white lab coat, exactly. That's when I started waking up to the medical industry. And when I saw that, I just, where's the form? Because I knew there was a form, at least a form where I could say I'm religious, which I wasn't. I'm more religious than I am now, but than I was, but... I signed that form, man. I'm religious. He can't have shot. It's an exemption. No way.
And start to take those away too. Four. Yep. When we come back, Rich will tell his story. And Josh, he seems okay now. You think you're okay?
Oh yeah.
Are you got an excuse now?
I'm all good.
We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Like, it never did you any good to call that number anyway. I never take calls.
Everybody tried.
I know. Everybody wants to talk about their parking ticket or something. You know, but the you know, we do interviews, and I get to, it's my time, I get to talk. But, you know, Rick had never called in on these shows. I wonder, you know, when did you start listening to Declare Your Independence? Well, how'd that happen?
I think it was, I don't know. Free Talk Live, I think I started listening to that at some point. It's been 10 years, maybe.
Yeah, no, I've been doing it a while on there.
And then I heard you on Alex Jones, and then I said, oh, man, I like this guy's ideas, and so I tracked you down, and I realized you are on that LRN FM. I used to listen to Genesis Network, too, a lot, but, you know, I'm sorry I promoted that, but anyway.
Well, no, Genesis, we've had negotiations a couple of times, and I tell you what the big thing is, because I don't advocate boating. Right. You don't advocate boating. Yeah, we ain't got to use for, you know, you got to be a boater kind of, you know, they're all freedom and everything, except you got a boat kind of, you know, I'm going, are you still voting? I mean, you know, I run for office, though. That's good. But the, so it's, we're in a niche. You know, there's, they're not digging, you know, the message that we have. And it's not conducive for selling advertising. That's the thing.
Gotcha.
So it has to be, you know, crowdsourced. And we have, you know, our big thing is we have a few, you know, wealthy supporters that are they very intelligent, and they think into the future, and they can see where this is going, and they know what needs to be done, and they, you know, we are on the same page of how this works, and it's a general public opinion thing, and it's what happened, you know, how you came to this, our activism and, you know, motivation and who we're trying to help and why, because it always comes down to Neo. There's always that one in a billion people that, you know, does stuff. And I know from the help that Donna and I have gotten over the past 30 years that, you know, somebody shakes my hand, it's $2,000, and it just all of a sudden the Lord done provided and paid the electric bill for another month to do the next thing of gas to go to the event that changed, you know, the planet kind of deal. And it's a faith thing. It's a faith in humanity, a faith in freedom, a faith in, you know, we are connected. You know, this is where you start getting spiritual. Now, you can say, yeah, you do the right things happen. So in your situation, you were motivated. I mean, I could see you get emotional when you think about what this is, has done to your family and what will do to others and the feelings that you had and the motivation. And then there's empathy and compassion that shows that you don't want it to happen to other people.
That's right.
You know, and your daughter, you know, what motivated her to become a naturopath?
Well, it was my wife. She was injured. Well, it's kind of weird, but my daughter got a vaccine. And this was even after. This is when Josh was around two. And she got a vaccine. And I was, we piled in, this is very, in the same time frame, we piled into the car and went to Pennsylvania to see my dying uncle, who was dying of cancer. And we had a camper at the time, and she had just got the vaccine. And my wife had a bad immune system at the time anyway, she was having issues. But I believe, that the vaccine shedded, basically, and hit us. It didn't bother me. It affected my son because he got a rash. And when we took him to the doctors, they said, well, that's a rubella rash. Okay, why would he get the rubella rash when my daughter got the vaccine? It was a live vaccine. And then two weeks later, my wife was paralyzed from the neck, from T2 down. Essentially, I watched that happen, which was pretty, pretty devastating. We had just started our own business. She had her business. We started in my business, and I was going to get out of the field I was in, start our own businesses because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so, and she was very good. She's a very good speaker. She speaks in front of anybody. She's a no-filter kind of girl. She just says what she thinks. And she was going to do some food, food thing and talk to people and sell this food product. Anyway, one day she couldn't move. She couldn't get up out of the chair. So I took her to the doctor. The doctor said, we got a problem here. Get to the hospital now. So we went to the hospital, and they would take a pin and poke her in the knee area. Can you feel that? Yeah. Okay. 10 minutes later, poke her in the knee. Can you feel that? No. They poke it higher. Can you feel that? No.
So it was moving Bogart up. High,
so it was moving up. It got about to the hip area, and they said, well, we can't. We took her for an MRI, whatever. Nothing happened. They said, well, we're going to send you to another hospital. We can't deal with this. It was a local hospital in Farmington Hills. And U of M or Providence, you know, it's, okay, let's go to U of M. They're the best. I called a friend, martial artist, who's a doctor, and he said, send her to U of M. We sent her to U of M, and by the time that happened.
So University of Michigan.
University of Michigan, okay. Yeah, sorry. And best hospital around, so we took her there. Now, she was in intensive care for like 3 days because they thought that it was going to continue up and stop her breathing. It's like a Guillain-Barré syndrome, but they called it transverse myelitis. They come up with all these crazy words. Never heard of it in my life. And it was, what? You know, what do we do? Nothing. You just wait. So we're waiting in intensive care for her to stop breathing, essentially. Like, she had a doctor's appointment before, like a week before, to find out what was going on. She just felt really bad. And then he said, so the doctor called, which is nice. He called, and he says, hey, how's she doing? Well, she's in intensive care. Did she get a vaccine? The first word out, this first question out of his mouth, did she get a vaccine? And that just freaking opened the gate for me. I said, this is the end, man. Because he got vaccine injured. Now this, I was like, oh my God. You know, what do you
multiply that times millions?
Yeah.
You know, I hear this stuff all the time. It's just so sad.
And it was a life-changing event. It ruined our lives, basically. I got a job with a law office, which saved us because I was able to, stop working on my business, got a full-time job with benefits because I needed the benefits to keep her in medication or whatever. So that took care of, but now,
You know, this is interesting. They're going to you go to a law firm, or you're the IT guy for them. They are a law firm that represents insurance companies, right?
Yeah, asbestos defense.
Okay, so they're in the insurance, and it's kind of we got to comply.
Yeah.
So they're definitely compliers. You're in the system of comply.
Yeah.
And then. The very thing that they want you to do comply is the very reason you got stuck there. And you're just, at some point, and multiply you times everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, this is millions and millions of people in this situation. You know, we're going to be back. We'll get to say yo, what's up to Josh here when we come back in a little bit. You know, he's a strong young man. He's got to go, hey, man, I'm good. You know, forever? I don't know. Now we're going to find out. We'll let him say it. We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm covering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what we're doing here. Oh, yeah, we're going to uncover some secrets here. You know, Josh, the son here, you know, the original question, your dad gave a lot of motivation, for your sister going being a naturopath. I guess that's kind of the answer. But, go ahead and finish it out. You know, your sister, you're 19, she's 23, and you got an older sister that's 29. Yeah. Now, the 29, she's married, right?
She was. Yeah, she was.
She's not anymore.
She's not anymore. She's available. Yeah. And I remember they're all being attractive, so just FYI to all you guys. So the your sister that's 23 is the one that's going studying as a naturopath, right?
Yes.
You know, and you know your sister. I mean, she's motivation to doing that is what?
Both her and I grew up seeing our mom
struggle with MS and a plethora of other diseases. So we saw her taking a freezer bag full of medication every day. So we both saw that as a problem, and honestly, the medication probably made it worse than it could have been. So she has always been motivated to find a natural way of healing our mom, because we don't like seeing her taking Xanax or whatever it may be, whether it's a Vicodin or a wake-up medicine, Provigil. Like, she could take a natural stuff rather than taking a sleeping medication to go to bed. She could take a little bit of CBD, or she could take Kratom, or she could eat an edible or something that would help her fall asleep. So whatever...
Started to do that? Has she started to transfer over different stuff?
Well, yeah. She doesn't really take much pain medication anymore. She takes Kratom instead. And yeah. I also buy her a lot of CBD products so she could try it and see what works best for her. And my sister, Alyssa, keeps trying to get her to come to her her office. Do you remember the name of the office? Do you?
Oh, shoot. No, I don't.
Well, she works in a... naturopath.
Clarkston, Michigan.
Yeah, it's in Clarkston, Michigan, and she keeps trying to get her to come in so she can run tests on her, and like body scanning and stuff like that. Mom's very reluctant. We have to keep trying to push it on her because she's a bit nervous about it. But, yeah, so that's Alyssa's.
Well, that's one of the benefits of your generation is that, you know, you're seeing it. Just, I mean, you sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the person. You got a little bit more objective, you know, perspective, and you're going – yeah, this is obviously, there's something out, and you got to go back and you do a little bit of research, and oh my goodness, there's the internet, and
yeah.
You know, such as it is now. But the you start looking, you're going, yeah, there's something else, Mom. I mean, I did the same thing with my grandmother. She was in pain, and she lived to be 94. She had a heart attack in her mid-80s or something, and my aunt, her son's wife, brought her back. You know, your CPR and got her back. And she's like, you should have just let me go, man. This is that last 10 years suck, you know. And she wasn't afraid to die. She was afraid of dying. She didn't want to be, you know, where she couldn't breathe and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of how she went. So that's really sad. But the thing, she was in pain. And I'm going, Grandma, you don't need to be in pain. You know, you talk to Libertarian here, man. I'll hook you up. You know, how much heroin you need. I mean, you know, we'll take care of you. There's no reason for you to be in pain. There was a plant that came out of Hawaii, and it might have been Kratom or something like that. This was in the early 2000s, and she found it, and it worked. And then they restricted it.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't take, you know, it's illegal. You know, they made it illegal. I guess I can't do it now. It's illegal. I'm going, Grandma, and it just pissed me off that they get you brainwashed like this.
Yeah.
And as a young man and woman, all right, you need a professional. I'll get the shiny badge. I'll get the lab coat. And then I'm going to tell you, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of the motivation there.
Basically, I mean, I get mad because every time she goes to the doctors, her doctor recommends another medication. And she's like, oh, I trust him. I don't trust him. I mean, he's just recommending another medication, and then you have side effects, and then you have to wean off of it, and then... it's just a big loop. It's a circle. It's a never-ending cycle.
Is she starting to wean off a lot of stuff? Are you guys having some influence?
She has gone off a lot of medication. And she...
yeah, word out to John Bush. We use his Kratom whenever we can, and that's helped her a lot. She takes a lot of that. You know, during the day, she calls it her tea.
Yeah.
And I got to take some tea. So she takes her tea, and she feels better. It calms her down.
You know, I get a lot of that stuff. People give me, you know, we called him Billy Kratom. It was a guy, you know, years ago when this really first started in Arizona, and it was a Sun City thing. You know, when the marijuana, you know, you'll have these Sun City guys. I remember my dad. He's proud. He had a briefcase, man. Look how many pills I got. Woohoo! You know, Obamacare. They will give me some free drugs, jeez, you know?
Yeah.
And I get a booster and all this other crap. And I'm like, man, this is nothing to be proud of. And it has all kinds of side effects. Well, when CBD started becoming a thing, Kratom and so on, all of a sudden, all these retired individuals, senior citizens, are just throwing away all their crap. And they're using that and they're done. We have, because we live or did right up near Sun City, and we have a lot of good friends that you're probably listening to this show that went around promoting CBD. Mm-hmm. They got the a can of butter maker you can get for like $150 on Amazon. You put an ounce of marijuana in there and some butter, and it makes it, and they cook and, you know, do cookies and everything. And they had grandma out there a cannon along with their CBD and their THC of the whatever, and got, this is what happened. Friend of mine, he has diabetes. He had that tingly leg thing, you know, he couldn't sleep, which means that he'd get up throughout the night, which means his wife did. Mm-hmm. For 10 years, they never slept through the night. I said, you know, here, try this cookie. You know, I gave, you know, have a half or do it, whatever. He goes, hey, man, where is that stuff? First time he started sleeping through the night in 10 years. I'm going, this is it, pharmaceuticals, man, they are worried about people exactly like you and your sister. That is what is the enemy, and they need to have. They need to make you sick because vaccines.
Yep.
If they can do the vaccine, you're creating a generation of dependent of you got to have, and I need the next, a side effect of the next. And this is, I can see it. And is your generation, you're recognizing this? What kind of research are you getting? Where do you get your information from?
I mean, I do a lot of my own independent research. I grew up on reading, so I mean, I read a lot of books and health books, nutrition books, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. I never really listened to the mainstream media, and I wouldn't say it's my whole generation. I'd say it's a good portion of it, but I also
noticed, any of it. Yay!
Yeah, I mean, going through high school, I saw a bunch of kids on Adderall and antidepressants. I mean, half those kids that were already on them started taking antidepressants and Adderall in elementary school. How can you be a depressed second grader? Like, go outside. Like,
no, they just need them to shut up and sit down. They just want a potted plant. They're not,
yeah,
you know, sure.
They don't want somebody rowdy. I mean, they recommended that I go on Adderall because I was, what was it? I wasn't paying attention.
You were a boy.
Yeah, I mean,
you couldn't read well.
At the time.
No, this is how it goes.
And I taught him how to, I got a phonics thing, and I taught him how to read because the school couldn't do it.
No, this we pulled our kid, my son. My daughter was in third grade, my son second and first, and they're getting ready to go into kindergarten. And we pulled them all out of the school, and I could see what it was. The kids go, you're boring, and I got legs. You know, so they duh, they're boys. You know, and I'm going, I could see what was going on. But they loved my son because, oh, no, he's perfect. He just sits, he doesn't bother anybody. He's a good boy. Ooh. You know, be a nice potted plant. Yeah. And I go, I don't need a potted plant, you know, I'm good. So it was, I'm glad that we did it. It changed our entire family's life. I mean, we lived, you know, poorly, very modestly, push starting cars, you know. Ooh, look, we have air conditioning in a house and a car that works at the same time. Woohoo, we're rich, you know. So, yeah. But, you know, we did what we could to get them in private schools. And it was, you know, we were the poor kids in the school. But we were respected by everybody. Everybody was cool, and they knew, and we were activists and all that, and it worked out fine. But now, they're productive adults with great grandkids. We raised parents, not, you know, we want to raise our grandkids. We want to be grandparents.
Right.
So this is exactly what I'm looking for, is a family like this that we want to help and be an inspiration to others. We're going to be right back. Another couple of girls spend all day with Josh and Rick.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me.
I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
You know, that's one thing that we're going to be doing. You know, we're starting today. Yesterday we went and got some supplies and other stuff that we brought and so on. We got to go make a bunch of signs. And what we're going to do is we're going to probably, it usually works out better if it's 2, 3 in the morning. You know, there's nothing now. Nobody to bother you. It's just how fast can you do it in a couple hours? No traffic. You can just stop right in the middle of the highway. I mean, you know, whatever. You pull it. You have two people. You can do it with one person. We'll get, you know, a few cars, and at least a couple of teams will go out. And maybe I'll go with one, and Donna will go with another, just because some – we went through this before. This is a good example. We were in Las Vegas, and we were making a bunch of signs on somebody's driveway. And we just, you know, a bunch of signs. As we're making them, some teams went out. 20 minutes later, they came back. They go, we couldn't find anywhere to put them. I'm like, what? They're afraid. They didn't want to go, well, if people see us going, we, you know, kind of, there wasn't a robot or a drone to go put it up there for us or something. You know? And they were just afraid. Well, we were up there with a band, a rock band called Property Six that were from Phoenix, and they're all motivated because they saw American Freedom to Fascism. I don't know if you ever saw that, but it was a movie that, you know, really motivated them, and Dr. Paul was in it, and they were kind of, oh, yeah, you're the guys. So they were doing a gig up in Phoenix, so they went with us to help with this, and I sent a band member with each one of the guys, said, go show them what, you know, boom! All of a sudden, they're done in, like, you know, a half hour, and they're all up, and they just, they're afraid. It's just once you get, and we were in South Carolina, and had a bunch of kids do them one time, and that was a great story. But they went out, and all of a sudden we're on the highway, and a highway patrolman pulled up behind us, and he gets there, and they're like, oh, no, they're getting ready to jump the fence. And they're like, oh, relax, man. I go up, and I go, and he goes, are you guys okay? Oh, no, we're just putting up political signs. He goes, okay, and he left.
Nice.
He didn't give a crap. He just wanted to make sure we weren't broke. Going, wow, really? Fear. Fear is the mind killer. So we just got to demonstrate. Once you guys get and you do this, we get, start making them, and they kind of build up a little adrenaline. You get a little nervous, get a little butterfly, and you go out and boom! And then you'll go, oh, that was way freaking cool.
Yeah.
And what will happen is that all of a sudden you'll see the power of this. Then we'll go out, you know, after that we'll nap, we'll go out and see how many signs are still up. They'll all be up. Nobody will care, as long as you don't put it on art or something, you know. But you do that, and you'll go, wow, this is having an impact. You see all the people backed up, you know, at the stoplight. They're looking at the sign, you know, the impact it's having. And you're going, wow, and you can't wait to get to your neighborhood and your town and you doing this, and you know that there is a significant, if even minority, enough people are encouraged by this stuff. When I went into the silkscreen place to buy the material, I brought one of those, stencil that I had, because make sure the sign is right. But when I picked it up, let me see your smile with Katharine Hepburn, you know, stencil. I brought that in, everybody, and they're just, they didn't really know. Kind of, and of course, I'm not wearing a mask, so they're just kind of, I'm smiling. They're like, oh, hi, you know, down there. You know, it's having an impact. Well, one woman came in. It was UAW, Union Auto Workers or whatever it was, shirt. And she was the only one that was pissed. You're like doing it wrong, you know, or something. It's just, they're just, you know. And then of course the workers, I was sitting there a while, you know, probably, you know, 40 minutes because we had to buy a bunch of different stuff, and they're going and finding and getting and, you know, loading up the vehicle and everything. And so you get a chance to talk, and when they loaded up the back, they saw all of those stencils. I was just showing the guy, I go, yeah, this one. And there, you could see it's like, wow, there's opposition. once it starts, I already so know. I'm so excited for you guys because of the damage that it's caused your family,
right,
of the people that you know that are similarly affected, of the people that you've associated with it, and you go in, your sister's going to school and meeting with all these people, but you're in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Josh, I want you to tell me about the impact the government and the governor's edicts and all this kind of stuff. Are you, is it impact everybody? They just, oh, because, you know, Queen What's-Her-Face said we gotta, or are they in resistance? Is there a rebellion waiting? What do you think's happening?
Well, I mean, Stretch and Gretchen's kind of a joke in Michigan for a lot of people.
Stretch and Gretchen?
Stretch,
why?
Well, there's, what's that about? There's an internet joke that in high school she had a lot of guys run a train on her. So
Stretch and Gretchen. Okay.
Stretch and Gretchen.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah. really?
So, well, hey, it's on the internet. So that's what a lot of people call her, Stretch and Gretchen.
Jeez.
But
my goodness. That's my kid.
She's put a lot of business, a lot of people out of business. I mean, there was this one place that I used to get food from in Commerce Township, and they're out of business now, and there's like practically no gyms open or anything like that. There's one gym open, and it's called Powerhouse, and I go to Powerhouse. And
well, how are they open? They turn it into a Republican headquarters or something?
Well, basically,
so somebody did.
They just paid the fine, right?
Yeah, they pay a fine like every day. Like,
yeah.
They, I forget how much it is, but from my understanding, they're supposedly trying to. There's like a lawsuit of some sort with the state of Michigan. Because they don't think it's just or right or that.
It has a big chain, you know, big, you know, the Hollywood freaking mountain, whatever gyms in Phoenix are going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, you know, but, you know, they keep coming after them. One gym turned themselves into, I just saw that we had on Freedom's Phoenix, that they turned it into a Republican campaign headquarters or something to stay open.
Yeah, right. I saw that. That's really good.
Now, you know, this is, but, you know, and the people comply with this.
Mm-hmm.
Out of what motivation? I mean, you know,
fear.
Of what?
Fear of the man, fear of getting in trouble.
Well, they're conditioned, right? They're conditioned to just do what the man says.
And they're
to death. It's like that's how you wind up on a cattle car.
Yeah. They're also afraid of coronavirus. They think that it's such a, like, they've propped it up to be something that it's not necessarily. Like, everybody's scared that, oh, we're going to get coronavirus. Oh, we're going to kill granny. Like, oh, what? Everybody's just afraid around us.
You know, but
a
there's enough statistics. And this is what's happening in Germany right now. We've been putting up over the last few days, you have to have it translated or closed captions of what's going on. The media and a lot of news and alternative and mainstream is having these, what do you call the guys, the forensic guys that do autopsies, autopsy doers. So they come on, they say, look. Yeah, coroners. They go, look, we're doing – these guys aren't dying of COVID. They're just listening to that. This is all BS. They're gonna, and it's coming – it's an overwhelming evidence that it's all BS.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing is, Ernie, it's a real disease. I go, well, okay, maybe, probably, but it's not – I mean, I'm like, I'll give you a couple of weeks. You start showing me, you know, dead bodies lined up like – stacked like cordwood, you know, maybe you got something. But you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly young people say, I mean, how many people do you even know that died from it?
I know no one, but I always hear, you know, my mom and dad or my boss, oh, this person died. Yeah, did they really die because of COVID? Because I, you know, from what I can see in statistics, is COVID pretty much cured pneumonia, you know? Come on.
Pneumonia's cured,
yeah,
man. Nobody dies from pneumonia anymore. we'll be right back. More. We're yakking it. Then we got to get the sign making.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And Rick and Josh. You know, last names don't matter. It's, you know, Rick and Josh. So it's Rick and his son, Josh. He's 19. How old are you, Rick?
Let's see. I'm too old to remember. I think it's 57, right?
Yeah, 57. So you're not a kid. I mean,
no,
you're good looking, though. You got, I will grow up be like you. You know. Yeah. Well, the thing is,
likewise,
you're into martial arts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So so are you, Josh. You're about ready to go get your 15th degree or something.
Nah,
you know,
first degree black belt.
Yeah, oh, okay. Degree. So, well, what? Whose butt you got to kick to get that?
This guy's. No.
Come on, Dad. I want to get my black belt. Today's the day, man. You know. So you go do whatever you do, and you get your black belt. You're gonna go kick some butt because you seem healthy now. I mean, it's like you're not, an invalid or anything, are you?
No. I mean, I'm in good shape. I mean, I take care of my body. I take vitamins. I work out every day, and yeah, so.
Yeah, but you never know. All of a sudden, you're 35, and you go, "What the hell happened, man?
Yeah.
I was doing good, and then when I was 2 years old, these bastards got me." You know?
Yeah.
You know, this stuff happens. The your sister, what is how long is she into her training?
She's been doing it a while. She's been doing different schooling and going around to different places, getting different information. She works for a company now, and what's it been? Probably
2.5 years
at least 3 years. She's really wanted to do this, so it's a passion of hers.
Yeah, you know, you get motivated, you know, mom. And once you get down into, you start gaining some knowledge, you start to see, oh, these bastards, they're making us sick. They're just trying to get some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so what is the area that you live in? Now, you have you got like an acre lot and a garage and some covered whatever. We're going to set something up after we leave here.
Yeah, we'll probably set something up in the garage.
Yeah, Donna and I, we'll give you at least a full day of, get you set up. And, whatever we need to do to get you guys set up, because you got friends and family and so on, we get you set up. You know, you can pump out a bunch of, hey, man, a couple bucks, I'll go out. We have it set up. It's so simple. And especially when you do the stencil, there's no cleanup. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing to where, just out of principle, you can go out and do some signs during a commercial break. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm watching the whatever, and I'm just, I just feel that a sign. Boom. Right. Did it. Mm-hmm. Butt kick. Right. And. Telling you, man. It's therapy.
I tell you, I didn't know what to expect when we came out here to meet you. And I heard about the vaccine and the Love Bus thing before ForkFest. And I said, you know what? I really want to go meet Ernie. I want to talk to him about this vaccine and the Love Bus and this movement. Because it's, it's really hit me. And, I'm going to grab my family. I'm going to come. So I talked him into it. I'm not sure. Josh was really raring to go. And Alyssa, I had to drag her a little bit. And my oldest daughter, I got her to come. I was surprised. It was like, sweet.
Did you guys drive?
We drove 16 hours. I drove straight through. And it was fun. We learned a lot. Josh jumped right in. He hung out with the people at ForkFest. I was a little, I had to sleep in a little bit because, it was a long drive.
Well, I met your family playing poker.
Yeah.
I won like $400, man. I was living ForkFest on poker winnings.
Yeah. But, I had no idea of this, what you've planned here. And when you hit me with this yesterday, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Because I look at all the protests now. Out there, and it's all about shooting each other. It's like, I don't want to get involved in that. I mean, I carry a gun, but I don't want nothing to do with shooting people or getting involved in that stuff.
No, that's
but
what they want
this,
you to do.
I know. Oh, yeah. This movement, anybody. I'm just a regular guy. I'm a middle class, family, just trying to make ends meet, and I can do this. And Josh can help, and we can get people to help. And it's easy. It looks really simple. And I love the idea of going out in the middle of the night, throwing signs up. I'm kind of like that kind of a guy, like sneaking around.
I'm looking forward to this, and you're going to be an inspiration for a lot of people. And I have experience since, the 90s doing this stuff. And, a lot of times it's if you do – this is one of the benefits, depending on how tyrannical, it's going to get more and more, This is kind of a test, too. That you can do a political action committee in support of or in opposition to a candidate or an issue or something that's on the ballot, whatever. You can get all kind of anal about it. And I'll go, all right, I'm a write-in candidate for Kiss My Butt. And then I, you know, I can put up campaign signs. You can't take them down. Nan, which I've done before. Mm-hmm. I go, you want to play this game? We'll do this game, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't even want to. If he's going to make me. I mean, there's always a way. There's always a freaking way. Yeah. And then you start doing, you build up a name. So it's kind of, you know, and you do it around an issue like this. It's always a single issue. And I tell you, they think it's the mask. We're doing this mask thing because that's what everybody's, you know, it's let me see your smile. Look at me. Social distancing is antisocial. You know, it's, you know, different messages right, we have. Yeah. Support first responders. That who say, you know, no to mandatory shots. And by doing that, and we were scoping out different places here near, you know, the hospitals and, you know, the law enforcement and all this kind of stuff. And there's, you know, chain link for the big signs that we're going to do. We're going to do some of the big ones just because we can. And we'll do that. And the reason is that by doing this, it is an inspiration for other people that already think that. They're just waiting for something. Once you do, they're going to go. And a lot of these don't have Love Bus on there. Hugs Over Mask, which is a guy out of Canada. We have some of his that we'll put up. You know, .ca, we'll blame them. You know, go blame them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go arrest them in Canada or something, you know, for terrorizing freedom over in America, whatever the hell they're going to come up with. And you do this, and it's therapeutic. For people like you that have had damages, that know that it's just wrong. It is, instead of going out and feeling you got to shoot somebody or show your AR or I'm going to get some, you do this and it's just cathartic. Is that the word? You know, it's just, it's so nourishing to your soul. And it's, you feel better. It's love and compassion and it's sharing and it's demonstrating no fear. Once you do it, I know what's going to happen, and you're going to want to do it more. So then we're going to take this and go to your home and get you kind of set up so you can be, you know, a hub of whatever. But you don't got to advertise, you know, hey, we're over here and your friends, and so it probably won't be a secret. Yeah. And if they come after you, I don't know, you know, what kind of.
Good luck. I've been in martial arts my whole life, and it's all about self-defense. It's not about – I never am – attacking anybody. It's
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Rick and Josh. Okay.
I just didn't want to wear a mask. So I figured, well, I'll wear one, but I'm not going to put it on my face. So I put it on my arm, and I wrote on it, you're being, what did I say? This is brainwashing. I said, Google medical tyranny, and I wrote that on the mask. And then it was somebody, I went up to Lowe's and bought something, and the cashier said, what's your mask say? And I wasn't wearing a mask. She was. And she says, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm like, people are out there wearing masks, but they believe in not wearing masks.
Of course.
And there are a lot of them, and they just won't do it. And it's funny. You know, one time I walked into Walmart, you got your mask on? And I, you know, raised my arm. I got it on, and I walked right in. He's like,
they do that. That's how Donna does it. You know, they go, ma'am, do you have a mask? She goes, yes, and just keeps walking.
Yeah.
It's next to my heart. Is there somewhere? You know, but I think it's very inspirational, a lot of people, just to demonstrate the no fear.
Right.
And by doing this sign stuff, it's also no fear of expressing yourself and, you know, in opposition to the BS. And I'm really looking forward to this. Now, the one thing that I wanted to ask you, you're motivated to go and, you know, see the Love Bus and, you know, do, you know, go to Pork Fest and all that and Fork Fest. What did you think, Josh? I mean, you went there, all these people up there, and there was, I think there was a couple of people that had masks for 5 minutes, they had masks, and then they, you know, take them off. But the, what was your impression of the event?
I mean, I really liked it. I liked spending time with, like-minded people, and also it was really cool to actually trade currency other than FRNs, like silver, and getting some gold backs, and my dad traded for Bitcoin Cash, actually, and mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. So, I mean, I definitely plan on going back next year, and I liked meeting a lot of people. I made new friends, and I'm a part of all the Telegram group chats and all that, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh my god, you keep up with all that crap?
Well,
I go
actually,
and look, it's like 1600. Yeah. Oh, never mind, man. Skip to the end.
I actually recently muted all of them because my phone was just blowing.
I know.
Up. It was
I
like 100 and something messages a day, but I'll check on it every now and again. And
yeah, it's we have a Telegram Love Boss Liberty Tour. And Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, those two part keep, of that one.
Yeah, those two keep me busy enough already, you
yeah.
know. But the but they're good stuff. You know, a lot of the
yeah.
guys, I mean, they start getting to be. And then there's always Scott, don't be a dick. You know, it's got, you know, he's always got to have a, you know, Scott's a good guy and a good supporter and everything. But, you know, some guys, they just got that trolling, you know, thing. Get kind of, but he was right on this sign thing, you know, it's a. Support first responders who say no to, you know, that's grammatically correct. And we did this back in 2009. We made the same mistake. And I remember people going, no, it's supposed to be who, not that. And I'm going, okay. And, yeah, we'll get to, and then I made the same mistake. I go, yeah, whatever, you know. But the, so we'll change it on the stent. You know, Derek's making the change. But I don't, it's whatever. If that's your biggest complaint, you know, but it's always good to be right, you know. But the, so I'm really encouraging to the people on the Telegram to be welcoming to new guys like you. And when somebody comes up and they say, now if somebody's being a jerk or advertising or whatever or something, you know, I go sick Scott on them. But, you know, it's just a nitpicky, just a, I hate that stuff. That was the trolls from back in the 90s. That's when it started, you know, because it used to be the internet. When I was in my early 30s and this internet thing started, you had email groups. And it was just a list that you're on, and it back and forth. I could ask any question, and I would get an answer from a freedom-minded individual of a judge, lawyer, doctor, professional, diesel mechanic, whatever the hell, and some philosophically and read the book, and I get an answer to it. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And they go, you know, it's their T-H-E-I-R, Ernie, not E-R. Okay, thank you. You know, and it wasn't, well, it wasn't, you know, like, they're just trying to help.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm on the radio, I always say, yeah, those that, you know, the Ernie, it's like a grammar school teacher's yelling at me. So I've had this conversation a long time.
Yeah.
But they, so it was always out of love.
Yeah.
Now it's not. There's trolls. And take that snarky little I'm better than you attitude, and I hate it, because that was the beginning of the death of these kinds of lists. So that's why I'm sensitive to it, because a new person comes in wants to be there, and they're going to slap them around, explain it to them. I'm going, who what are you, a hall monitor or something? You need a sash?
Right. I'd have fun with somebody that tried to push me around.
Yeah, but see, it wastes time.
It wastes time.
I don't want the waste of time.
That's
and,
true.
And Scott's such a good asset to this stuff. And I'm sorry. Am I picking on you, Scott? Yes, I am, you know. So be welcoming to these people, because they're coming. You got like Josh sitting there wanting, you know, the share. And if you discourage the sharing when they got something to say, you diminish the entire point of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the Love Bus and Declare Your Independence, it's, I mean, it's got, you know, like 100 here, 100 there. I mean, there's, it keeps growing, you know. And, you know, you got some trolls that are just going to be the man or whatever. But when it's Super Bowl time or something, they'll try and do dissent, and they're looking for the angle or something like that. You just block those people, do that. But I'm pretty open. but I don't want it to get to be 5 gazillion. And they have a lot of good stuff. And what I add to it, I add a lot of memes sometimes. I think it, you know, kind of, you know, should be shared, or you know, different other telegrams. Like Dr. Tenpenny has a lot of good stuff up there. I'll put up. And so it's the communication about the Love Bus and what we're doing. You guys are going to be a big inspiration to this. And we want to see some graphics and pictures. I want to see pictures and videos and pictures and videos and pictures. Mm-hmm. So do that, and that'll be inspiring. And we'll be doing a lot of that today and when we go to your home. Now, the one thing I was hoping you guys would share is your friends and family, and where you work and around, they know your opinion, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty open about it.
And how supportive are they?
They tolerate me, you know.
It's a tolerate
Except
thing.
My dad. My dad doesn't tolerate me. He's an old liberal school teacher, so me and him, I don't even bring up subjects like this anymore. It's the end of the world for him. So other than that, you know, no, people are fine generally. Family are fine. I bring something up because I go deep. You know, I go to all the I'm known as the conspiracy guy in the family, and so I go deep sometimes.
Still,
and,
after at a certain point, it has to be they're going, okay, you were right a little bit.
Yeah, but I was right. It just takes a little bit, right?
You know, I've always
it definitely
been...
has shifted. Like a lot of our family members have noticed, like, oh yeah, a lot of this stuff is real. A lot of this stuff
they're seeing
it fruition.
You know, that's been my thing. I don't get. You know, this is my encouragement to a lot of new activists. I'm going, you know, you don't want to be the dick at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, you want you express yourself. You say, of course, you know, I go, you express yourself. You want to make sure you're clear and what your opinion is. And then you've got to browbeat them. Just stop.
Right.
Because if you do, then they start digging the hole and they get defensive and they put up the sandbags. You're never going to get them out.
Yep.
So it's the next Thanksgiving or the third or the fourth one, and you're just kind of hanging out over by the fence at the end of the, you know, back of the yard, and all of a sudden the entourage comes. One guy, hey, it's like it's their idea. Hey, did you see this? All this guy, because they know you'll be receptive, and you go, wow, really? You know, of course I knew that 2 years ago, but, you know, you're encouraging to them. This has happened with Donna's family. You know, my brother-in-law's, man, they were just, oh, you're crazy, 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 until all of a sudden you're not, you know? But if you would have beat up on them, you know, instead of out of love, just go, oh, you. And you go, I remember my one brother-in-law, he goes, hey, I registered libertarian. And he's hardcore freaking Republican. He had literally Laura and George Bush on his mantle. Okay, I mean, he's one of those guys, all right?
Jeez.
Worshiping Fox every time. He had it. He's like OCD, man. He'd have, you know, he'd have Sean Hannity's book and Rush Limbaugh, and he had it Glenn Beck because he went to Fox and CNN. You know, but then he changed. I go, of course you did. You're a good guy.
Right.
I didn't say you're still voting, but I mean, you're still voting. We'll be right back. We're going to make good activists out of everybody.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
But I mean, he hits at both sides, so he's a good character.
The Pirates Without Borders. Read the letters?
Yeah.
Have you read them?
No, I have.
Josh,
not.
You need to read for you. Yeah, you know, it's time to read it. But one of the letters is from Dr. Idris Barber. Idris is Arabic for scribe or something, right?
Okay.
So Davi Barker and I work on these. You know, he'll come over for 2 weeks and we'll write one or two. Going to do. And one of the things was that we did augment. You did do it. It's mid. You want a neural chip? Don't care, but meet your ass. So this is like with the thing. Wonder if we got people back here. The is going to sit. What do you
think? I don't think hopeful that plan to, you know, calm everything at the end. Yeah, no, it's not working or something, blah, blah, blah. But something, I have hope for it, but. I can't believe he just says it all the time, and it really bugs me when he does. But
he's trying to appeal to people that are afraid and don't really know behind the scenes of vaccines.
And you know, I have faith that he's gonna come through and not mandate anything, because he didn't mandate these shutdowns. All these shutdowns happened with governors; they did the shutdowns. All he did was say, okay, you know. We need to do something. He made suggestions, and that's what the federal government is supposed to do. They're supposed to spread good information to the people. They're not supposed to tell us what to do. They're supposed to give us the information, and then we decide.
You know, the one thing I think is, you know, is government supposed to be friendly advice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they just can't leave it at that. And yeah. I was thinking that as we were coming up here, and it made me think of it because, you know, it's summer now and it's not a big deal, but you still have the signs up that say, you know, bridge ices first, you know, or someone just said ice is on bridge before freezes before the road.
Bridge
or something.
May be icy.
Yeah, bridge may be icy.
Yeah, you know, the ice on bridge first or something. I'm going,
yeah.
Well, that's government friendly advice. Yeah. They're not telling me, you know, you got to, I don't know, go chip the ice or you can't drive it because it's got ice or
stop and check or something.
Yeah, or throw sand on it or something. You know, there it, you know, if that was all government did, they were friendly advice, I'm good.
Right.
You know, they say, hey, you know, the bridge, you don't get ice check. Okay. Thanks. You know, because when I started driving and I was young, I'm in Arizona. What the hell I know about ice, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going, oh yeah, I guess it probably will. Okay. Well, thanks for that. And as you're skidding around, you're kind of going, whoa, you know, so now you know. And I'm going, if government was just friendly advice, I'd be good. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a road, you got a sign. Yeah, I'm there. But nah, they can't leave it at that.
No,
you. Neighborhood. Now, you're how far from Detroit?
We're about 20 minutes west of Detroit.
See, everybody here gives it in time. So, in Arizona, it's in distance.
It's not 20 minutes. It's more like 40.
Well, it depends on the expressway. It used to be, an hour until they put in the expressways, and now it's, you know, 20 minutes. So,
how many miles are you from?
So what are we miles, you know, you figure?
I'm not quite sure.
About 30 miles at the moment. Well, no, wait. I'm going to say 20 miles.
Okay.
20 miles.
So
20, 25.
You're less than an hour away, depending on traffic. All right. So is it a suburb of Detroit?
Yes.
It's a small town. It's kind of so. It's really kind
it's
of
kind of the outskirts of the sub. The suburbs. You know, it's we live in right outside of Wixom, which used to be like a bedroom community. We used to and Novi. Novi is an interesting place because it's Novi. Everybody says Novi. But it's Novi. It's like number 5 train stop. You know, it's that's where it, that name came from, and so it's like the outskirts. And there was used to be a big Ford assembly plant in Wixom. So that's that was the main stop there for the Ford plant. And
so your community is it like have a city council?
Yeah, it's a township.
Is it the same county as Detroit?
It's Oakland County.
So it's a different county.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different county. So Wayne County is...
This is what we learned in the 90s. All this agenda, whatever the hell, they're doing at the county level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a county thing. Yeah. So what you guys are dealing with probably isn't Detroit. It's the county. So if you did your activism inside that county, you're affecting the county. So it's like, you know, would you spend time jerking around with Detroit or whatever, or would you be doing your community or that county? You know, what's your mindset? What are you thinking?
Well, county, definitely. I mean,
How big's the county?
It's big. It's one of the bigger and richer counties in Michigan. I think it's the biggest, richest county in Michigan.
Sounding good already, man. Yeah, So this is, if you pulled up, what's the name of the county?
Oakland.
Okay, so Oakland County, Michigan, you know, I vote we make that, then, unless something else comes up, that's your target.
Got a lot of hospitals, got a lot of police forces, got a lot of, you know, lakes, got a lot of lakes. And
stuff. We're the lakes area.
Yeah.
See, so you get a lot of recreation and travel. Is there a lot of snowmobiling up where you are and all that kind of stuff? Is it a rec area?
Yeah, used to be more because, you know, there was less people. Since we've moved there, we've been there 23 years. It's grown up so much, you know. There's all these community, you know, all these subdivisions that popped up, and you know, then in 27, everybody went bankrupt and moved out, and now they're coming back in. And
so, what's the so it's a lot of people fleeing the city. They'll be moving out there.
Everybody.
So what's the racial demographics?
It's mixed. It's mixed. We got all. You know,
I mean, is it like 50-50 or
In our area, you know. It's probably 70-30, you know, you're looking at white.
So there's a large black community there.
There's a large black
community. Okay, so one of the things that another thing is the economic demographics. You know, what's that? Is there, like, a poor area? Or?
Yeah, it's mixed. We live in a middle, you know, lower middle-income area, and we live right next to
multi-million dollar
houses, which are, you know, literally on, of course, on the lakes, right? Mm-hmm. And gated communities and stuff.
And you have
like
an acre lot where you're at, and you got some room.
Yeah, about an acre. Okay. Yeah, I got some room.
You know, this is the one thing that Trump administration did do. It was just recently, within the last month or something. It was part of this agenda, whatever the hell. And we could see how it affected in Arizona. They required the permitting to get the goodies from the federal, that got it done. It was social and economic engineering of local communities that you had to have so many multi-dwelling, like apartments and that kind of stuff. You know, you don't get this if you don't do that, and they all got to be on the sewer and water system so we can fluoridate everybody at whim and, you know, whatever the hell they're trying to do. So you're going, okay, well, Trump came in and said, no, we're not doing that anymore. There's no requirement for a certain multi-house dwelling to kind of, it's going to be the way the community wants it. That's going to change some stuff, too. All right, we're going to talk. In 4 minutes, I'm going to be able to look up the demographics in their county and tell you when we come back. Can you hear me now?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
and whatever.
See, there's a lot of those. It tends to be women that tend to fall for the mentality, but one of my friends, the idea of free, but I so know about, like, they don't care about politics. They try to stay away from it, involved in some little thing. The people that I surround myself are overwhelmingly, like, whether they're Trump supporters or not, or just about freedom, like, F the politicians, like, get out, get. I don't know. It's a mix up. I don't know. Just like any other generation, there's a side.
But who are the fucking philosophy? Are people like I wearing InfoWars shirts and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, and I got you guys got some pirate shirts and stuff when you were up at Porkfest, didn't you?
I did not. I was going to buy some on from you, but at the time, but you were sleeping in your bus, so, and we were leaving, so I didn't get a chance to get any from you.
Yeah, man, I just give them to you. You know, whenever I go, we did start a couple. We started at a Narcopoco, and I go, it's 5 minutes, they're gone.
Geez, yeah.
But, you know, and then of course I see them everywhere. We go to these fat people wearing the pirate stuff up there, and I'm that's really the point. Hell, I pay you to wear it, you know. A t-shirt thing, we'll start pushing that and we'll get some stuff. I mean, it's so, I need help, man. Yeah. You know, there's
Pork Fest and the Freedom Fest, or not the
Fork Fest.
Fork Fest. But before that, we had signed up for something in Washington, which was
LibertyCon.
We signed up for LibertyCon, and we were like excited about that. And I get him out there; he can learn some stuff, maybe, you know, look for something he wants to do in life. And so I set that up, you know, made reservations, and then all this stuff happened and canceled. So it's like, oh, geez, really? So that really pissed me off. And I said, okay, well, let's do ForkFest, and so we did. You know, that's what motivated me. And then I said, well, you know, I really want to go because I see that Ernie's going to be there with the Love Bus, and the vaccine I knew was going to be an issue. So I said, I got to do something. I've been listening to radio, and I've been a freedom guy for a long time, and it's all been about myself and my family. Now, you know, I want to try to make a difference. So this seems to be the best way to do it. Get out there with those signs. You know, try to motivate other people, and you know, that's where I'm at, and that's, you know, that's what motivated me to get here.
Yeah, you know, in Telegram they're saying that the signal's drop. It's because when I try and search something, it's a bandwidth thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I can't touch my computer. All right, I won't touch the computer anymore. You guys, hey man, we're up in Gitche-Gumee, man. You know, you know, I only got so much signal here. Yeah. And that's one of the things when we get to satellites. You know, like, you know, a Starlink or something like that.
Right.
You know, I keep saying this. Half the planet doesn't have access to the internet.
Yeah.
What happens when the other half gets it? And what kind of information they're going to get? How are they going to control what they do or don't? And that's one thing I really want to know about Musk and Starlink. What kind of permission slip? How far up your up Uncle Sam's butt then? I just need to know that.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't matter because the tech is there. It's going to go. The future, I think that's why they, them, those are so worried. I think it's desperation time. It's now or never, because I think the people are rising up. The phoenix will be rising up from literal ashes. That was kind of the concept that I was, you know, waiting for. Here it comes. And I always say things. I mean, if you've been listening to my show a lot, you know, I'll go, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight.
Yes.
And a lot of people go, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm going, you know, you see it coming. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all of a sudden it's Monday, you know.
Yeah.
You go, hey, you feel me now? You know. And your generation, Josh, it's they get most of their peer pressure, how they're going to do what. Is it Facebook? Is it social media? Is it their friends? Is it, you know, some law passed and the governor said? I mean, you know, where are they getting their marching orders? Celebrities? Kim Kardashian is going to tell you?
Celebrities in the indoctrination camps that are universities. I mean, most of the people I know or went to school with go to universities, and half the professors, at least half the professors there, are indoctrinating the kids to think a certain way instead of questioning everything and asking the question why.
Not allowed.
Not allowed, yeah. I mean, I would always get in, not necessarily get in trouble, but I would always, I don't know, I never stayed silent in class. I would always question the teacher and question their authority. And the teachers didn't like that necessarily, but some did. Some did, and that was surprising. But I don't know, a lot of these, Twitter, Facebook, I mean, they're all a bunch of echo chambers. So, I mean, if you follow a certain group of people and that's all you see on your feed, it's just an echo chamber. So you just keep getting fed this information, whether it's real or not. And so, I mean, a lot of kids my age fall into that, and then they get angry, they get upset, and then they join the Black Lives Matter movement, not realizing what it really is. And
you know, the one thing that we knew it was going to happen when they pulled them out of school, I think they thought that parent, oh, we got to get them back to school. I need my daycare. And yeah. I think a lot of people, they go, you know, I kind of like my kids. I might even love them a little bit. And they were teaching you what? And they, what? They start getting more involved. What? And when they go back this fall, there's a Marxist indoctrination of freaking waiting on them. I don't know. You guys probably didn't see this. There was James Clavell, which was an author of, you know, Shogun, Taipan, Noble Hal. He's a, you know, kind of a historical fiction guy. And he did a piece that was broadcast. They wrote it and filmed it. It's like 20, 30 minutes in a classroom after they won the war. You know, the communists took over or something like that. And they get a new teacher. I watched that, and it was scary as hell, and that's what's coming. That's what's coming! We'll talk about what's coming when we come back. Be right back. Can you hear me over the music? And not with this compressor on. That's Scott Penn. All right, we'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
You want to do this, we'll get it. It cannot be messy enough. I guarantee it. You're looking at Jay and Derek's shit. I mean, you can't even compare. There's not even a chance.
We just need to get a listen to get their stuff into their...
somewhere, yeah.
In their storage area.
Yeah, my garage. I had my garage nice and clean. It was just Josh at the house, just me and my wife, and we're like, oh, cool. And then they move in, and they move all their stuff in.
Hey, we're back. Did we miss it? We were yakking. Ah, sorry. You're going, yeah, Dad, I just closed my computer, man. It's so much bandwidth that we can, you know, deal with here. Yeah, what we're going to do is kind of same thing, you know, Don and I always do. You know, they got, you know, well, we have a garage, but it's kind of, like, don't worry about it. You know, where's the dumpster? Anyway, so we're gonna get you guys all hooked up. We'll do that Monday, Tuesday, and... yeah, we found out that they're suggesting that they may have to do a whole engine rebuild on the bus. And I'm going, good, give me a warranty. You know, kind of just get it done. We need to get whatever. So Jay's working on that with them. We'll see what happens. But it's in the shop. They can just get it done. So they may even have it done next week. But we need to get back and on the road and doing this thing. And everything that because we totally redid the steering. I put a new steering box in, the suspension, the tie rod, the bushings, the shocks. So... it's a going concern now. We have a couple of things that we just got to get, because we got the whole thing for only $19,000. We knew we were going to have to do this anyway, you know. And so, yeah, it's going to be a thing. But, yeah, I need, because that bus is a freaking tank.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's set up for what we need to do. So I don't mind. I want to be able to be on the road and not have to worry about stuff. And but diesels run. I don't care how many cylinders done. You know, you turn it on, it goes whir. But we'll get it all taken care of. And because we got, you know, people like you. Now, when we get back and we get you all set up and so on, you call some friends and you got family and you're in your area and you made the effort to come up here and family be here today. And we'll start as soon as we get done with the show. We're going to get going on, you know, starting to make stuff. Donna's getting. a canopy and maybe with walls and so on here in case there's wind or it rains or something. We will not be denied, you know. And we'll go ahead and get a bunch of these done. And maybe we'll put them up, you know, late tonight, tomorrow, the weekend. We'll get going on.
Yeah. We'll blanket the place.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a good friend of mine, a guy named Lon, and he's a best friend of Bob Anderson. They served on the Enterprise together. You know, they were nuke techs, you know, on the USS Enterprise, and they went to work at Palo Verde where Bob just retired. And this Upper Michigan, this is where Lon grew up. You know, I knew he was up around. He talked about Upper Michigan. I didn't know he lived here. So he's like, oh yeah. But he's like, he's talking. He goes, yeah, it's on, man. It's like, man, you know, if I knew who to shoot, you know. But I go, that's
that's the problem. Yeah,
yeah, and it's not really the answer.
It's not the answer.
You know, it's
you
it's
gotta like, avoid that stuff.
They want you to.
Right. It's the absolute last
they need
resort.
You to. They're trying to make you do it.
Right.
You know, this is, yeah, we need you to shoot back and get a martial law of Biden, you know. This is how they do takeovers of countries. This is how they get the military involved. This is how they just do, you're going to have a coup. And I don't know where they're getting their indoctrination or information. I'm sure it's coming straight from communist playbook of Marxist, whatever, this is how you do it.
Isn't it? It's a playbook. It's just the way
they
do it. It's step by step. That's how they do it.
You know, the one thing that they have to do, though, is like what they did with Australia, is they have to disarm you first. And in Australia, they disarmed them, turning in all their guns. Here, they're like, not so much. That's a line for me. Door-to-door gun confiscation, man. You can see it coming.
The vaccines are a line for me and guns. And there's too many hunters. I mean, this place in the fall is loaded with hunters. And you're not going to take their guns.
You know, one statistic that I came across that I thought was interesting, it was a meme, and it said there are more hunting licenses in America than the entire armed forces of the entire world, and they're all snipers.
Yeah, that's right. They're all snipers.
I don't think you're going to win this one, you know, when it comes down to it. It's a 10-1. Or 2-1. I go out with, it's an attrition thing, Yeah. But if you have an armed revolution and they're going to what? Be in charge of the monuments in Washington, D.C.? Yay. Now I got a bunch of other armed thugs in charge of everybody. It's not going to work that way.
No.
It's this. It's just general public opinion. It's just, they want you to be violent. They need you to be.
Right.
But what's happening, people are just moving out of the cities. And because you have, because that's what the bus represents also, as I go I on the show, you may hear me say this all the time, you need communication, energy, and water. You do that, technology is getting to where I don't need to be. And what the hell am I doing in the city? I'm remoting everywhere anyway. What the hell? So like where you guys are living, I bet you real estate's going like crazy. People are buying up and they need to get out of.
Oh, yeah. We're looking for land up here.
You get some. The thing is, though, is that it doesn't matter. That's what this agenda you're not allowed thing is about. They're going, no, I'm sorry. You're not allowed. That was one thing in Arizona. Even in the desert, you only get like 7 inches of rain a year. Well, here that happens an afternoon up here, there, if you can harvest the rain, which a lot of these guys, the homesteading people, they're doing. Well, they in Colorado, plenty of water. Play around, you harvest, they go, no, you're not allowed. Then they go, all right. This is just a couple of years ago. Governor, they signed a thing saying, all right, you can collect rainwater in 255-gallon barrels.
Jesus.
Now you're free.
Yeah.
I'm going, yeah. So then it's a chicken thing. Hey, I got chicken. No, you can't have chickens. You can't. Nope, you're not allowed to grow vegetables in your front yard. Nope, you're not. Oh, the backyard too. I'm going, does anybody see a pattern here?
Yeah.
You have to be dependent, and you have to starve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got to go to the stadium if I get my bottled water kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that have these skills that they don't need in small communities. It's like up here. It's flyover country. They'll be fine because they have their own barter kind of. Then what are they going to do? We talked to there was a gentleman that went through Serbia, Bosnia, Yugoslavia broke up kind of thing after the wall came down and the, you know, the Bosnian-Serbia war. And he goes, you know, the people that thought they were insulated from it, living out in Lone Prairie in a rural area, they weren't part of a community. They got overrun. You know, the people came out, they just, yeah, it's ours now. You know, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And he goes, the people that survived were the community apartment buildings and so on in the cities. They're the ones that survived. You know, they had to have a, you know, like a redoubt. They had to have a community. They had to have an armed on the wall kind of whatever thing. So this is what I'm seeing starting developing here in America. When we were in New Hampshire, the guys there, they're buying pigs, growing food, got cattle. We're not going to starve. It's a starve thing. Gunchurch.org. Defeating the forces of evil. So it's coming down to, you just got to be peaceful with a gun. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Rick and Josh. Now, the one thing that I want to ask, we're going to look up the Democrat. We'll get to it, you know, what they have there. But I can't touch my computer. We'll lose signal, you know, because we got itty-bitty signal. So what we're going to do is I wanted to ask Josh, you know, you do the call out for, you know, a Tuesday night, you know, a Tuesday, Wednesday. We get all set up. But we might need to do Wednesday because. Yeah, garage. So we get y'all set up and ready to go, and you say, we're making signs today. You guys aren't going to the school anyway, are you? You know, I mean, whatever. But you do it one evening. We have a party. Get some pizza and beer and whatever, you know. Or, you know, Arnold Palmer's for you guys or Shirley Temple's.
Oh, yeah, sure,
yeah,
sure,
whatever.
Sure, sure.
So anyway, so we get, you know, we have your friends come in, and we're just going to make how many a couple guys you think you can get to kind of get some?
At least a couple. I mean, a lot of my friends did end up. They already paid for a house up at their university, whether it's Michigan State or U of M or Grand Valley. So they're already living up there, even though it's all online school. Michigan State decided to tell the students that, oh, it's too dangerous to go to class the day after that they've paid. So,
but they can go up and party in their dorms.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Michael Crow, the guy that's the head of ASU, and he's all Q-intel, CIA'd up of whatever. That's a whole other thing. But he sent a letter, and there's a listener and a friend, a guy named Sean in San Diego. Well, he listens to the show. He knows a lot like you. And he's an architect. And his son just finished his freshman year at ASU. Well, they came out and they bought him a condo and they got all that and now it's an online thing. Yep. And they sent him, I mean, the same kind of crap. Mm-hmm. And he was all into it, man. They had, you know, making carbon fiber, like whatever the hell he was doing. And the lab's closed. No, you're not supposed to do it. So then the head of the university sends a letter out to all the students. And this is what it said. We're doing you a solid. You know, it's going to be online and everything, but we're going to do you a solid and we're not raising tuition prices.
Jeez. Aren't they sweet?
Thank you. You know, I'm like, it's so over. This is because these are mandatory youth indoctrination camps, you know, under 12th grade. And now they're going to want to mandatory indoctrinate you. And I went to Arizona State University. I graduated in 79. I worked for a year. I saved up my money and everything to go to ASU. I joined a frat there because they were engineering and had answers to the test. And I go, I go there, and I was paying. You know, it wasn't like, you know, because I couldn't get, you know, any, my parents made too much money. I couldn't qualify for anything because of affirmative action. I was affirmative actioned out. So I'm just like, whoa, man, I got this. Isn't that racism? I was like, you know, so I experienced that. I'm going, God, what kind of crap is this? Balls are playing in the hallway of kind of freaking. I'm going, man, you guys are definitely not taking this seriously, you know? So then I get Philosophy 101 and I do this paper and they're talking about real, you know, utilitarianism. You know, it's kind of, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, you know, they had a flight. It's called deontology or deontologist or whatever the hell it was. And my thing was, is I go, individual rights is the utilitarian benefit everybody. So I thought I was being clever. They go, oh, no, it's just a, you know, you know, you're a deontologist, you're just, you know, about rights and doesn't matter what everybody, I go, no, everybody is benefited by having a principle that you all fall in support of individual. Just before I even heard the word libertarian, it was just obvious to me. I'm going, well, this is, I go, well, this is how you get a good society is by defending the individual. I mean, that's what the promise, that's why this show is declare your independence.
Yeah.
You know, the purpose of government, defense individual rights, don't do that. Time to alter, abolish it, your right, your duty. Boom, I'm in. When I wrote that paper, D,
of course,
and I go, what, did I spell my name wrong or something? What was it? You know, they go, well, you got, they didn't like, it wasn't how I said, it's what I said. This is 1981. Gee. So I could see it coming. Imagine you got 20, 30 years of this and it's only gotten worse. What, yeah. what did you create? You know, I'm going, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. So you knew it was coming. And they went after, you know, the Soviet Union, the Marxist whatever, the Chinese somebody. It's they, them, those. What, do you know what I mean by they, them, those when I say that, Josh?
Do you mean it by like what, like your preferred pronoun?
No. This is what happened. When I started doing radio, I'm going, well, they this and they that. And, oh, you conspiracy, they, who are they? Good question.
Yeah.
You know? And I go, well, I you want to know who they are? I'll tell you who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. It's they, them, those. They're, you want to know who the bad guys are? They're the ones not leaving me alone. And you're starting to feel they're not leaving me alone? You know, so I'm going, that's who they, them, those are.
Yeah.
You know, Triple T, man, they're coming after me. Oh, that's a good bumper sticker. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Triple T, they're after me. So, and that was one thing I saw. There was a meme that we have on the Trump Report that goes, you know, Trump says he's sitting like this, you know, he's kind of leaning, he's got a good picture, and he goes, they're not after me, they're after,
after
you.
Yeah.
I'm just in the way.
All right.
And he kind of said that in his speech last night. He goes, they're after you, man, it's not me, you know. So I see this coming, and I don't think that we're going to be represent, you know, certainly the freedom guys are going to be represent. Better than, you know, some and a lot of you. But I'm, you know, that's the elixir, man. That's going to suck you back in. Oh, Trump's going to fix it. No, he's not.
No.
You know, it's
we have to fix it. It's not
exactly
him. And he's telling us that. And, I mean, we don't have rights unless we stand up and, you know, say, I have rights. Every right comes from an individual. It's not, has nothing to do with government. It's our rights to exist, and we have certain things we have to do to exist, and we have the right to protection and however we need to protect ourselves
with and every freaking
and we
thing
have
available.
Yeah, we have to do it, and it's, and he's saying that, and people aren't they have to catch on. They just have to catch on, or else it's all over.
Yeah, and it starts with, you know, things like the mask. That's why I you know, the mask thing is a sign of, you know, capitulation.
It's right out in front. Hey, guess what? We're going to muzzle you, okay? Wait a second. Really? You're going to muzzle me? Wait, I don't think so. I have rights. I'm taking this off. And we have to start there, otherwise we're going to lose it at the vaccination side.
You know, tell me about your hat. It's a skull, you know, kind of a pirate skull, but it's got a Trump hairdo on it, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, what's that? What's
that
about?
It's Punisher. You know, it's like I say, it's good and the evil in government, and there's some evil, you know what, going on in this government, and there's some very bad people, and I believe that Trump is, you know, the Punisher. He's out there going after specifically the pedophiles. He's tearing up these
God
groups.
I hope so.
And you know, I'd go deep into the rabbit hole, and you know, ever since this COVID thing, I've been on the internet a lot, and I've been waking up to a lot of stuff, and you know, I don't know if all of it's true, But if it is, something's got to be done.
No, it we went through this with the Franklin scandal in the late 80s, early 90s when I was being active in a lot of – you could see – that's why I would say, I go, you got to be a pedophile as a minimum job requirement to be a congressman.
Right.
I mean, this is how they
– you got to be blackmailable. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is bad. You think you're going to vote – I just got – Luke Radowski just sent me a thing that Arizona's going to go blue. You know, they're – you know, it's you know, Mark Kelly is the astronaut that's running against McSally, which is, you know, she's, you know, Republican U.S. Senate got appointed, you know, to fill it because she lost against Kirsten Sinema, which CNN, you know, really made a big play on me because when I interviewed Kirsten back in 2003 and we have interactions over the years and I know who she is. We worked on different things, but she's dangerous because you don't hear about her. She's got a future. She's a Soros dude. That's the and Arizona Janet Napolitano is our governor.
Yeah.
What the hell do you think? How are they?
What a sicko.
It's because they control the elections. The Department of We Got the Paper. It is Arizona is a nail sticking up and they're going after it. Ooh. You know that. So it's not elections, people. It's not. So
freedom's the answer. What's the question? You know, you're listening to Ernest Hancock.
2 years or two.
Yes, and Rick and Josh, and we're yakking it here. Okay. This is one thing. It's all, it, you know, it's son and my crazy dad. I know how it is, man. I'm there. Until, you know, some of my kids get kind of, you know, they're like, you know, dad's not crazy enough. I mean, you're like, you know, but the you do a little more research and you get and you find, and this is the one thing. So, Josh, what's your – yeah, my dad, he kind of goes a little over down the hole of, oh, conspiracy. I got a special tinfoil hat. I mean, come on. Give me your opinion. What's up?
I mean, I just think you just got to be careful. The Internet is full of information, whether it's real or fake. I mean, you just got to take everything with a grain of salt and get – you can't believe everything you see on the Internet, especially QAnon stuff, because, I mean, for all we know, that could be another PSYOP.
Of course it is. It, you know, but it could be a PSYOP for good or bad or there's got you, know,
yeah.
you never know. You know, but it is definitely a PSYOP.
Yeah.
It's just whether it's one side. You know, but who cares? You know, if the QAnon people getting, yeah, we fixed it and we saved and now you know we got a good ruler. Oh yeah, I got a good ruler. Like I need a ruler.
Yeah,
you know. So exactly. To me, you know what the narrative is. You know, this is what I find. I try and find out what the hell is going on. So I interview some of these guys that are the QAnon, you know, YouTuber, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And the narrative is that the good guys, the white hats of the military industrial complex intelligence of NSA, if as there is such a thing, that's a whole other thing right there, is that they recruited or supported or needed Trump and give him the effort to go after, needed somebody strong enough to go after these bad guys that they knew was there. They were even, you know, God, do we got to do a coup on Obama? They knew this was coming, all this, you know, Marxist whatever the hell, using our system. How do you do it? Well, the American people wouldn't have stood for a coup. That wasn't you'd lost before you even started. So they're going, we got to get somebody that's going to prosecute. Well, I keep getting the promises that they're going to have, you know, tens of thousands of people lined up in Frog March in front of the well, we're waiting. I mean, you know, there's not enough evidence on the bad guys, so we'll see. But this is how I look at it. I don't have to believe this or that or anything. And this is to help you clear your mind, Josh. I mean, this is just, here it is. You ready? When they do things like fluoridation is a way to control your yada, yada. You know, that was a conspiracy of, oh, my God, back in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. You're crazy SOB. You brought it up.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of,
You're probably right.
Then you go, they go, chemtrails. Now it's like, well, of course we're doing it because, you know, we love you. We want to save global warming or something.
Yeah,
you know, you're crazy right up until, you know, they admit it, you know. So when anybody comes to me, you know, 9/11, my whole thing when I started radio in 2003, I had one question. They go, well, they did all the stuff, the same kind of seeding of misinformation and what this and that and how many laser beams and whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I got one question. Where did all the molten metal come from?
Yeah.
Because they were pulling out, it was just lava of metal. I'm going, where the hell did that go? Oh, but they was going to go, eh. Until you answer that question, I don't even give a crap what you're talking about and some of the other stuff. They distract you from that.
Yeah.
And I go, where did the molten metal come from? And then later we get to the thermite thing by probably 3-4 years later that they started to come out where the molten metal came from. Mm. And I'm going, okay. Then they had that big Beirut bombing, like a mini nuke or where the hell that was, you know, and that building that was right there, it's still standing. And I'm going, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, you know, you have all this. You got to have that one question.
But also with 9/11, why did Tower 7 collapse from office fires?
Because they needed it to, dummy.
Exactly.
You know? So this is my thing, all right? This is the question. They go, Ernie, do you really believe this? It's called gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't really think of that. You know? And the reason where the term, you ever hear the term gaslighting someone?
Yeah, there's a movie. You watched it. Yeah.
You know? And I'm sorry?
There's a movie.
Right. This is where it comes from. It was like a play before that. And what it was is a guy was trying to make his wife go crazy or think she was crazy. And he kept the little oil lamps. They kept turning it down on it. No, we didn't touch it. What are you, crazy? You know what I'm saying? And it was just, it's called gaslighting. You just keep, now everybody goes to this one person and go, you're just imagining this. Yep. You know, there was even episodes of My Three Sons where they did this kind of thing. I remember this back in the day. So this is it was a TV program back. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. But the so it's called gaslighting. It's when somebody goes, oh, you're just crazy. Oh, you believe that? You know, they're trying. It's a psyop. So they always do. So they go to Ernie. Do you really believe that? And they're just repeating what somebody on Facebook or whatever has told them to do. This is how I counter it. I go, if they can, if it's physically possible for they, them, those to maintain, enhance, expand their power and intrusiveness over your life to their benefit, they are. I don't know. You know, do you think, I don't know, can they? Is it physically possible? Can they put certain chemicals in a plane? Well, then they are. Well, can they, you know, in the water, in the food, in the GMO, in the can they, in the vaccine, I don't know. Can they? Is it physically possible for them to do, you know, oh, but they wouldn't do election fraud. That'd be wrong. See my point?
Yeah.
So these guys, there is no moral hurdle that they have to get, no, we wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. These are evil sons. And that was one thing that I get from, you read the Bible, is that there's a really a theme throughout the whole thing. And it's just, you know, all these instances of, you know, you get, you know, it's free will, or especially when you get to the New Testament, it's down to the individual decision. It's an individual thing. And that all the evil of the world, all the revelation, all the mark of the beast, all it's because they, if they can, they will do this. They will mark it. They will make you comply. They will use it. They will. Why? Because they can. Mm-hmm. Will they make you a digital currency? Will they shut down your account? Will they close your business? Will they? Hell yeah, because there's no more. They're sociopaths. They're psychopaths. They don't have any empathy for you. They're not there for you. They'll say whatever the hell and smile and kiss the baby, you know, or smell her hair or whatever the hell they're going to do, you know. But if they can. So anytime you think, you go to your dad, you're being kind of crazy, Dad. I don't know. He goes, I don't know. Can they? Well, then they freaking are. You think they need a boring machine to make their tunnel of whatever the hell and under the, down the ground that they got in their secret whatever? I don't know. Can they? Then they are. And the thing that's even more telling than that is they sure as hell want to.
Yeah.
And if they got the resources and they can sell their $600 hammers, you know, to the military or whatever and the black budget, then they are. And that is what I think that we're dealing with. And it's international, and it's they, them, those, and it's freaking, you know, so what are we, and how do you combat that? It's just general public opinion, which is why they need to get rid of a bunch of us. And even if they're not dead, they need to make you where you're even worse than dead. You're incapable of doing anything but supporting their agenda, wearing the mask, and you don't have any money, and you're just dependent on, give me my water bottle and just tell me where to sign up. It's so neon freaking obvious. It's because they can. And the reason they can is because we've given it to them. We've created the shiny badges for them to take over. You know, they go, oh, we, president? Well, hell, we'll just take that. You know, you created this president thing, and now we're in charge of, we got. And then you have, you know, Justice Roberts. You know, I think it's going to come out that he's kind of been compromised. They got, you know, because there's some weird stuff going on. That is not the answer. It's not the voting. It's what you guys are doing. It's this. It's the signs. It's a general opinion. That, I know from personal experience, is what they fear and hate more than anything else. And I might as well put a bullseye on top of the love bus so they can get their Hellfire missile working. You know, I'm like, bring it on, because I know what the alternative is. It's tyranny for my grandchildren.
Yep.
That ain't going to happen. Not without me doing something. Freedom has to stand up, you know, and the best way to do it, sometimes to stand up for something, you just got to sit down. You're just not going to move. I think this is why I'm just going to stay here. Come do your thing, man. Right. You know, and that's why I feel so much better about what we do and why I'm so motivated to help you is because what we're helping you guys when you have made the decision to do this is what's going to change the world. Pace, we'll be back next week. Tell you all what happened. Get you, Cuban. Bye.